it's Keith Chegwin. You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. Well, somebody's got to. Hey!
Yes, yes. Still, yeah, it's sort of like Ricky Gervais-esque, really, in his own way. But no, it's Keith Chegwin. I much prefer the more refined.
You've shared the Midweek Drive experience on Wednesday. Now, double the fun with an extra 2 hours on 107.3 Siren FM from Thursday the 3rd of February. Quality entertainment from Lincoln. Now, if only they could afford my helicopter to fly me to the studio.
See, it's from times past, that one, because, you know, 3rd of February, obviously.
I was going to say,
That's when we started, you see. That's when we started the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, 3rd of February in the year of our Lord, 2011, and still thriving into 2012, which approaches ever closely. The weather, mainly fine at first, with some wintry showers, highs of 5 degrees centigrade, lows of 1 degree centigrade, some freezing patches later on. Who actually delivered that wonderful Midweek Drive opus, Jodie Orton?
Maybe Sarah Huntley.
What do you think, Amy Elise?
Yeah, possibly agree, yeah.
Well, I tell you, you know, for somebody, Amy, who says about Richard Fitzwilliams, he makes me laugh. Sarah Huntley, she makes everybody laugh. How are you, Sarah? All right?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, thanks.
Marvellous. Now, I'll break the news to you first and foremost, Sarah. I had hoped to actually continue with Liz Brewer's Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette.
Oh, no.
Yeah, has started off
on...
Oh,
no, I've so enjoyed our little Liz Brewer moment.
Unfortunately, the book is in my car, which is currently about a good sort of quarter of a mile away. And there's no way I'm going to get there and back in time to actually say, poof, it's all sorted through. So we'll have to hold fire. Liz will be joining us herself on the show at 9 o'clock next Thursday. So perhaps, Sarah, you might like to possibly tune into that and then join us afterwards. And then we can keep that going. Because the etiquette recommendations of Liz are quite simply amazing. The sort of things she suggests, Amy, for instance, to do with balloons. Very important. And how to actually cope with, you know, 600 balloons. Keep them in the shade. Don't let the balloons go out in the light, because you can create all sorts of challenges from that. Very, very impressive. I presume, Sarah, given that you know, you've got a child to look after, you've got a husband to sort through, etc., if we ask the question, so have you been listening online to the show so far, Sarah, you'll say, are you insane?
Oh, no, I have tried. I have tried, but it's a bit tricky from Cornwall, and my internet goes down every so often. So, but I have tried, Alexis.
Well,
yeah.
It's always been tricky from Cornwall, but never mind. You know, that's why we appreciate Cornwall and we appreciate the connection.
I've got the Cornish there, you know.
And those pasties, you know, of course, technically, the real Cornish pasty, they actually add, you know, meat in one end and dessert and ice cream in the other. You know, that was the whole thing. You had a meat, and that was like a meal in one. That was the whole case.
Yeah.
So I went suddenly Ricky Gervais on the whole thing. Suddenly, get off my land. No,
actually, I've got something rather Christmassy here.
Have you?
Might benefit from in the studio. I've got the Christmas decorations are starting to go up now. And I have a Christmas bauble, which is as old as me. So this bauble is 48 years old.
Oh, my word.
Soon to be 49.
I don't think Amy can even conceive.
And my grandmother bought it for me. And she bought it, it's a rather posh one, she bought it at the Fulton and Mason's. And she used to buy, you know, lots of people do, don't they, buy one special Christmas decoration a year. And you pull it down, so you'll hear a click, and it should play a tune. Just look. That sounds like a fart, but listen. Are you hearing that end?
It's just sensational.
We certainly are.
We're getting chills.
Yeah. And it's very magical. And it's a beautiful blue, and it then goes up on the string, playing, which Alexis knows, my favourite Christmas carol is Silent Night.
Oh, as we like to say.
I find that rather amusing, actually.
Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Etc. The original Germans. Well, you know, we'll work our way through that. I mean, what other show can actually bring you Richard Fitzwilliam's Golden Globes in the first hour and then Sarah Huntley's magical Christmas bauble after being unzipped in the second hour?
Well, we haven't got the book of party yet, but we've managed to get a bauble in there.
It's always important.
Can you tell her that I think it's wonderful, the book, and we were only laughing because we were being silly.
We are laughing with Liz. That's the important
thing. But because of the detail she goes into, it was
phenomenal.
It was opening itself to the double entendre, was it
well,
not?
Well, I mean, not that we use double entendres on Siren or indeed Southside Broadcasting, because we are of a higher moral calibre, Sarah.
Yes, that's why I had to. that's why I had to play you my musical bauble. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a big knock at the door now, and I think that's Father Christmas. I think it's someone trying to deliver something.
Really? At this time of the morning? In mm-hmm. Cornwall? At 6 minutes?
No, four? I'm in Wimbledon now.
Oh, in Wimbledon? Even so, at this time of the morning? Are they ill? I mean, you know, surely they don't actually start first deliveries until about afternoon time, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Actually, I tell a lie. Mm. I tell you for why it's not. It's a neighbour giving something that was delivered yesterday.
Yeah, that's more like it.
It's not the postman.
Oh, for a moment though, I thought, whoa.
Yeah, I thought it was too good to be true.
Deliveries at 9 o'clock in the morning?
No,
inconceivable.
We're like you, it's 4 o'clock, half past
yeah,
four.
Yeah, exactly. And you get one of those cards through the door which enables you to go down and meet the nice sort of folk, etc.
Oh, well, they also do. I'm sorry, people are a postman, but in the, it's not your regular postman. They knock on the door. No, they're not in. Gone. Hang on, no, I'm here.
They've got,
and then it's a 20-hour queue with the passport to be told it hasn't got there yet and to come back in 2 days' time.
Precisely, yeah. They've got things to do, places to see, all of those important side of things, etc.
I never put a stamp on an envelope that you think maybe is just a little bigger than the normal envelope.
No.
That won't then get posted. That you have to collect and pay £2.50 for.
Sorry, this is quite all right. Yeah. How we're going to send out the siren calendars this year, I just do not know in any way, shape or form, but still, we'll do our best. Amy Elise, our last from Watford, who is staying with us for another week in Lincoln. Hooray! Any questions you'd like to put to Sarah Huntley about life, the universe, her Christmas baubles?
Sarah, we have listed here that you do LAMDA tutor. Yeah,
she is the girl from LAMDA.
Oh, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like Dolly Parton song. D-I-V-O-R-C. I do L-L-A. I can't do it. I'm singing.
L-A-M-D-A tutor. That's Sarah Huntley.
Lambda. London Academy
of
Music and Dramatic Arts.
Which
himself has examinations, you know, Alexia. I teach the Lambda syllabus at the Lidge College and Alain's and Sutton High and Chiswick. That's basically when I'm not acting, which is quite a bit of the time.
Every day, in every way, Sarah Huntley's acting career just improves and improves in all sorts of magical ways.
Well, I was at a very interesting Christmas party on the way back from Cornwall yesterday. I got back to London, and I went and I met David Davis, Amanda Patel. Mm-hmm.
I just have to sort of point out, from this point of view, Amanda Patel, former press secretary for William Hague, now actually columnist and various sort of things. David Davis, of course, in charge of the Football Association for a time and also ex-BBC journalist.
Yes.
Oh, no, actually, he's not. Let me just correct this. He's not. There are two David Davies, of course.
Are
we talking David Davis, former MP or current MP? Who could have become a Conservative Party leader. But then decided, no, we're all in this together. Let's step out of Europe and do something completely different.
Yes. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yes.
You see, that's the key thing. You know, is Cameron liked by Sarkozy? No. Is he liked by Angela Merkel? Possibly. Vielleicht. You know.
How many times have they shown that clip of the tap on the shoulder?
Yeah. Well, tap on the shoulder. Water on the brain. It's all very, very sort of strange in this whole side of things. I have to mention that on Thursday, the 15th of December, which is today, at the Lincoln Drill Hall, we actually have an event called Young Cut. That's Young Cut, with live music, mince pies, sing-alongs, fun, friends and festive cheer. Tickets are mere £3 in advance or £4 on the door, and that's at the Lincoln Drill Hall this evening. Friday the 16th of December and Saturday the 17th of December at 7 p.m. 'Tis the night before Christmas. Surely there's something wrong with that. You know, surely it should be the 24th, if it's technically the night before Christmas. But anyway, don't blame me. John Wenham produces these things. We as presenters read them out. It's the night before Christmas and things aren't shaping up well. Simon's dreading his family. Cherry can't afford Power Rangers for her son. And Gary's tied up an elf. The Night Before Christmas, a Christmas play for adults, is a smutty, dangerously funny, but ultimately warm-hearted,
even warm-hearted. Cris de cœur against the Christmas industry. And that's by the stage. Exactly. Well, so that's the stage recommendation. The ticket's £6 at the Lincoln Drill Hall.
So where is this on at?
That's on at the Lincoln Drill Hall this Friday, the 16th of December, and Saturday, the 17th of December, 7 p.m, the night before Christmas. A smutty, dangerously funny, but ultimately warm-hearted Cris de cœur against the Christmas industry, according to the stage.
Good.
Yeah, the Cinderella. Are you pantomiming this year, Sarah? I mean, are you going to traditional pantomime? What's Wimbledon pantomime? Let's plug. Let's
Wimbledon,
promote
Wimbledon. We've got Barry Humphries.
Oh well, what's not to love, eh? You know, Dame Edna.
I know. So I don't really. I'm not a great pantomime person, but I do like.
Oh yes,
Barry
you
Humphries.
Are. Yes.
I like Christmas shows. Yeah, I like things like The Snow Queen, and I like Peter Pan, which I did years ago, and I like things like that.
Even today, people remark about how wonderful the Huntley thighs were back when she was Peter Panny. It's astounding, really. Or were you Wendy? I can't recall.
I was a Wendy.
Yeah, we are. And even today, and people remark about how wonderful Wendy's thighs were. yes. Amazing. And the Lincoln Theatre
Royal. You can't go on now, can you?
I'm just going to. I'm moving on to the Lincoln Theatre Royal.
I'm going to pull my Christmas baubles out again.
Michelle Hardwick, who played Lizzie Hopkirk in The Royal, she actually takes the lead, in fact, as Cinderella. Again, the show will have its wonderful thigh slapping principal boy, Nicola Weeks, as Prince Charming. The regulars this year in the Lincoln Theatre Royal Christmas pantomime will be joined by Judy Buxton, who played Ruth in the comedy series On the Up as Fairy Godmother, and Lincoln's very own Buttons, Craig Hollingsworth. Yes, that's Lincoln's premier performance, The Magical Cinderella, taking place, of course, at Lincoln Theatre Royal until the 15th of January 2012. Have you gone to pantomimes before, Amy? Are you a pantomime fan?
I haven't been to them, no, but I really want to go. I really enjoy going to theatre and pantomimes.
You should work through that whole thing. Jodie, pantomime person?
I haven't been for a long time, actually, since I was a young'un, so obviously that's going back a while.
I couldn't possibly comment. You know. 126 years young today, she is.
I don't look a day over 125.
24, exactly. It's marvellous stuff there. So we've had Aaron Craig's Christmas recipe, which is a little treat. We've put that online, by the way, Sarah. So if you want to actually take on board Aaron's recipe, you can go to our sister station, southsidebroadcasting.com, and it's all there. It's all written up in magic. You can find out about what to do with ice cream and chocolate and a certain liqueur manufacturer.
I think I get it.
Exactly. So, do you have any...
If I was on something like Have I Got News For You, I'd do some witty response. Oh. So you knew and I knew that we were all talking about the same thing.
Yeah, this is it. This is so true.
I'm having a trip to the Old Bailey, is what I'd say.
Yeah. And then, you know, it would just be phenomenal. And so we'd almost be breaking into the centipede joke once again.
I know. We love each other bits, but we all agreed. Yeah. Not one to be repeated.
True. We indeed asked Joy Knight to deliver it again last night, and she did. And I'm sorry, but even delivered by the person who originated the whole thing, it didn't.
Actually, it's almost become a joke in itself, but it's so not a joke.
Exactly. Whereas, you see, I threw in the line, you know, why is the sky so high so the birdies don't bump their heads? You know, and I thought actually that warranted.
I think it would be funny if you made it rhyme. Yeah, why is the sky so high? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know.
And that's why we weren't selected.
It's easier for them to fly or something.
This is one of the reasons why Huntley and Lefchick were not selected for this year's Royal Variety Command performance.
No, we're good.
Exactly. We are, you know. It's we're honest. Nothing
I'm
like
the subtler wit.
Mm. Well, exactly, and I always think...
No, I think we're the masters of double entendre.
Do you think so? Yes. Surely mistresses of double entendre.
The master and mistress.
Well, there we are.
So, oh, now that sounds very
Let's
rude.
Just do a quick test. Amy Elise, okay. Double entendre. Do you know what we're referring to?
No.
Bless, you see. I just had a sense that was the case. I mean, after all, you know, you're going to be graduating in a few months. Yeah. You went across. Talk to us about what you did in 2011 in terms of your event and your wonderful exploration of the Far East.
I went over to Thailand, through to Cambodia, over to Vietnam, and back again.
And this was all by herself, you see. And yet she comes back here and doesn't know what a double entendre means.
It's like double something, isn't it? Double
meaning. Double meaning. Usually with a slightly saucy edge to it. Usually. Like baubles.
Yes.
You'd be surprised to know that I'm looking to do my French next year.
So, there we are.
So you've learned one word already.
It's going to be...
Well, and that could be a double entendre in itself. I'm looking for my French next year, you see. We're just very rude. We're very old and very rude.
And I think speak for yourself, Miss Huntley, please.
I did find, though, when I was studying in America earlier this year, that the Americans don't always appreciate the British kind of double
sense of humour.
Yeah.
Apart from Monty Python. They do like Monty Python. Because he's very good, Monty Python.
No, it's just
I think
that
he's real. He's I not, think of what, course.
I think they're very literal, aren't they? So if you make the English are always good at making a joke against themselves, or, you know, saying things like, well, it's going awfully well, isn't it? You know, when it isn't. No, they don't get that. They would say, I don't think so, Sarah. I think we have a problem here. Like, yes, I know. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? I'm thinking, I'm going to get one mic that Basil Fawlty in those situations.
So you're saying that, you know, should David Cameron be getting together with Barack Obama in the near future? David Cameron says, it's going awfully well, isn't it? You know, Obama's going to turn around and say, nope.
Well, yes, that is the case. Probably Obama wouldn't. I feel a bit sorry for Obama because everyone's saying, you know, he's the president of let's hope there's hope. And, you know.
Well, I think we like to feel that. You know, let's hope there's hope. You know, that's the important thing. You know, Hope Lang was a very important actress who was once in The Ghost and Mrs. Miller.
I don't think. Oh, now.
Yeah.
There's some wonderful Christmas cards of that, you know.
Exactly.
There's some. You have to look out for those. They've got some great Christmas cards around. There are stills from that at the moment.
It's The Ghost and Mrs. Miller, quite literally. Not, of course, the movie, I think the TV series of the same name, which featured Hope Lang. An actress you probably haven't encountered, Jodie.
No, I'm afraid not. No.
And that's part of the rich tapestry. Jodie, any questions you'd like to put to Sarah Huntley?
Sarah, I believe that you were on Midsummer Murders, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And so tell us about that. Were you being
killed?
Murdered?
Yes, I was shot in the back with a shotgun, and I like to pretend I did my own death, but I didn't really. They had a... my neighbour kills me in this storyline, and because the shotgun, he doesn't want to look at me to shoot me, I turn round and the doctor, because they always have somebody assisting to tell the death, I mean, it's a bit of a laugh, isn't it, but how the death can look the most convincing, and this is rather gory, but apparently if you shot me through my back, or any of us, you would then, the blood would explode sort of outwards, through your front, but it was just ricochet everywhere. So what they did was they turned me round, and then they had a stunt woman who had blood in her mouth, blood packs of sponges on her arms, hands, stomach and chest. So then she took the place and she sort of violently threw herself against this white wall and then slowly went down onto the floor, where I then went into the pool of blood. And I'd say to him, oh, that was me, of course. And then...
sorry, wrong sound effect. Oh, never mind.
But the thing that was very difficult to do was that my character isn't quite dead. And she leans with her hand to turn the radio on to try and attract attention, because it's in one of those sort of Midsummer Murderist cottages type things. And then she turns the radio on and it's Woman's Hour with something like appropriate, like Madea. You know, the gory sounds of Madea. And so I had to put this blood-soaked hand goes across, turns it on, and then she sort of goes, and dies. And then trying not to breathe, or breathe very silently, so that as the camera pans out, I wanted to laugh. And also, all the fake blood was pulled by my head, and I was thinking, I want to do this job so well, but am I going to blind myself with all this fake blood going into my eye? But yeah, it's quite... Well, Alexis has seen me die several times on stage, haven't you, Alexis?
Sarah, you always resurrect yourself in such an
immaculate
way.
I come out of a box. One of the funniest ones was another friend at Southside was with us, and I was in a box most of the play. Hmm. And I did it. I did it. I got killed and put in the box. So you think, but actually she comes back. So they had to cut a bit out of the box because it's at the side of the stage, and she actually does. The box remains there the whole whole play, but actually Grenna gets out of the box. But I did this play 1 year, and I did it a couple of years later, and I'd a bit of weight, and I thought, oh dear, poor man having to struggle, because it's very hard to get a dead weighted body and put it in. Yeah, so we had some laughs, but, and shooting guns on stage is very scary, because you know you might get to the big moment in the murder mystery, and then you go, right, that's it. And actually, the triggers are quite difficult to pull, and you can't exactly go bang. And so I used to get very nervous about shooting people. Actually, not the noise of it, but just it really was going to go. But Midsummer Murders was fantastic, and it's probably one of the best jobs I've done. I really, really enjoyed it.
And
I'd love to do another one. And I think I've been dead long enough now that I can come back.
You're listening to Sarah Huntley ruminating on life in the theatre here on Siren 107.3 FM. Splendid. I mean, it's marvellous. I can see, Amy, that you already feel enlightened and elucidated by Sarah Huntley.
I do, yes.
She's that sort
of person. Do you? Because I don't.
Just reflecting on the whole sort of package, etc. Just looking ahead, next week, Annette André will be providing us with another one of her monthly letters from New York. Annette André, do you remember Annette André at all, Sarah?
I do, yes.
Randolyn Hopkirk deceased. She was Jeannie in that. She also appeared five times, not once, not two, five times in the Roger Moore series The Saint, and also once with Ian Ogilvy. And she's actually going to be regaling us with a tale from different from Manhattan, actually. She won't be in New York. She will be in New York. She'll be in upstate New York. She'll be in Manhattan because her husband will be shooting a piece for National Geographic, or the History Channel, I think, in the next door room. So she's going to be doing her link with us here while she tells her husband to shh, be quiet. Australian actress doing my piece for the Madrid Drive.
I keep my husband quiet. He's been opening a box.
I had a feeling that might be the case. And we have to say that, you know, in all fairness, John Britton has been very good. He's normally actually howling in the background like some sort of wounded band. You know, but it's okay. You know, exactly. You go. It's sorted through with
that. I've got it, and I think, you know, there's me rambling on. I think Walking Folk around Berger is far more interesting than me rambling on about being shot.
Not at all. Not
I
at
think
all.
It's very fascinating, exactly. Actually. Yeah.
Provides us with a snapshot of life. You see, that's the important
or
thing.
Or death
in Wimbledon and Cornwall. So. I'm going to ask Amy Elise to throw those last two questions. Oh, well, there we are, I see. Sarah's bauble, off again.
I had to pull my bauble down again, just once more.
It's always important to actually work through that. Amy, whilst we listen to the joys of Silent Night, in the background there, as opposed to being knacked in all sorts of ways, etc.
No, it's a duvet
en sol
again.
Yes, precisely. I mean, you know, if you've been partying heavily, there's a different line entirely for that. Schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe. Oh, you do. Schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe. Where's Liebe Zuckenwerth when we need an Austrian translation? Actually,
oh, yeah,
no, that doesn't work. That's a Swedish chef, Sarah. Amy. Those last two questions, s'il vous plaît, the French either, for Sarah Huntley. La Huntley, as we refer to her.
Sarah, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Not just a reasonable one, a very jolly one.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Oh, yes, I'd love to connect.
And
Alex is very good at connecting.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm pleased to see that, you know, the memory is still
served. He's got loads of connections, you know.
There you go. It's like a multifaceted plug scenario. Quite astounding.
Yes, if you got him out that seat, that you'd be amazed.
Study. At this particular moment in time, we say, Sarah Huntley, we salute you. You can listen to much more Sarah Huntley by going online, listening to the podcast, etc., including her delightful thoughts on Liz Brewer's Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette. Liz will be back with us next week. Sarah Huntley will hopefully be back with us next week as well. Here's Simon and Garfunkel, not singing Silent Night, but The Sounds of Silence. See what we did there. Yeah.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.